This Single Parents Day, Parent and I collaborated with single parent charities and found out what they're doing to support single parent families across the UK. So I'm here with Parent and NI Senior Participation and Research Officer, Emma. Emma, can you tell us a bit about what you do at Parent and NI?
Yes, so my role is really to engage with parents to find out their views on different issues. As you know, parents are affected by all different issues in society, from education to the cost of living crisis. So my job is really to engage with parents to ensure that Parent and NI is providing the right support services and that we are listening to the voice of parents and the issues that are affecting them.
And since we're recording this for Single Parents Day, how does Parent and NI give recognition to single parents?
Well, Parent and NI actually had a separated dads programme from 2018 to 2022. Dads are now a core strand of our work, so we don't have an actual separate project. But this project came about really by the needs of dads. So we recognised that there was an increasing number of dads calling our support line who felt that they needed support after the breakdown of their marriage or the relationship. They needed support to just manage this new dynamic, should that be through parenting or co-parenting with their partner. So Parent and I realised that they did definitely had different issues and that we needed to provide a bespoke support service and to ensure that we were meeting the needs of these dads. So through those that project with our dads, we realised that single parents really do face very different challenges. So that led us to completing some research called SOLAS. SOLAS looked at the financial impact of separation on parents. So we ran this research study from 2022 to 2023, along with our project partner CES. So we surveyed 247 single and separated parents. We carried out qualitative interviews with 11 parents so that we could get a more in-depth look at the experiences of these parents. And we had 6 focus groups with 39 different parents involved. We also engaged with 9 stakeholder groups. So this was service providers, policy experts and academics about their work with single and separated parents to really find out what support was out there and what issues they see separated parents facing. We also engaged with our own staff and Parent and NI and consulted with our parent reference group. Our parent reference group is made up of a number of parents and service providers who really guide us in all of the research that we're doing to ensure that we're staying true to what parents need. So we actually looked at a range of different parents. So they were resident parents, non-residents and parents who shared care. So they had like 50-50 time with their children. What we found that was that more than half of these parents were struggling or really struggling, and the other 40% were just managing. So even those 40% who said that they were managing, we actually found they were in a very precarious situation. So they were managing their day-to-day bills, but if there was any emergency, say a breakdown of a car, a school trip, they were really going to struggle in these situations. And so there was many reasons for this. One of them was the loss of the main earner or income into the household. For non-resident parents, it was the payment of child maintenance. Things such as benefit inadequacy and unaffordable childcare come up repeatedly. And there was also the legal costs that were associated with the separation. So should that be through divorce or accessing time with their children? So single parents with more than one child were more likely to struggle, as we expected. And the resident parents were more likely to face difficulty than non-resident parents. The research found that gender did actually not affect it, but it was the status of the parent, whether they were the resident or non-resident parent, that was important. Employment was affected, especially for those who had younger children, with many dads stating that they were then working a second job so that they could provide for their family, meaning that they actually had less time to spend with their children. Government benefits and social security was seen as inadequate, especially for those families who were in universal credit. We also found that parents were significantly impacted in their mental and physical health after the separation. So 91% of parents reported that it affected their mental health, and 77% of parents recognised that it affected their physical health. This was through conditions being exacerbated because of stress, so and people leading to weight gain and things like that, which then caused further health issues. There was also the impact on their parenting style and on their children. Many parents recognise that their capacity to parent their children the way they want it was changed after the separation. But parents were less likely to report potential impacts of the financial hardship having or causing difficulties in their children's health. 41% of parents said that it affected their child's mental well-being, with 42% saying it affected physical well-being. This was mainly through things such as substandard housing, when parents had to move to a different home following the separation. There were some really concerning statistics that we found out of this research. One mum had said, "The cost of living is so high, it stops us from living our life. We just seem to be existing. I'm sitting here with a duvet and blanket over me in the living room and I can still feel the cold. These parents are living in really terrible conditions, so we knew it was really important that we come up with some recommendations as how they can be supported." The Solus research has come up with 10 different recommendations. So the main one is that the Northern Ireland executives should be providing specific financial support for those families with a low income, including lone parents. We also have a lot of other things, such as offering parents access to peer support and maintaining social connections, which loads of parents told us was valuable. We also need to look at the needs of the whole family and look at things like extending free school meals and the regulation of uniform costs. We also think it would be fantastic to have free access to family mediation service for both parents to try and encourage parents to come to their own conclusions so that it doesn't have such a significant impact on their health. So thanks to this research, we are now using this to influence our services so that we are looking at how we can support these parents in the way that they need through things like the parent support groups with our Dads Talk. And we're also using this to lobby and campaign for better services for lone parents through our government.
Today we have Laura Miller, and she is the strategic manager at Fife Gingerbread. And she's here to tell us a wee bit about what they do over there at Fife Gingerbread, if you want to let us know, Laura.
So we are a wee children and families charity in Fife. So we focus on supporting lone parents and families in need. And we're a grassroots organisation. So the charity was set up in 1987 by two lone mothers locally that were looking to create peer support for other lone parent families in the 80s. And it's evolved since then to deliver quite a wide range of projects. And we also do a lot of work championing for change on behalf of the lone parent families we're working with to tackle the systems that are often letting them down.
And during Single Parents Week, how are you recognising lone parents, as our theme is recognition?
So we're really excited to be joining all the promotional activity with the other organisations to recognise the strengths of lone parents. I think it's sometimes easy to focus on all the stigma that can surround lone parent families, but they're this amazing group of really resilient families that we're working with. So we'll be celebrating families during our tea time clubs, we'll be putting posts out on social media, and we have a parents forum, and we'll be going for lunch that week as well to thank them for everything they do for Fife Gingerbread.
Lovely. So we've invited a few people from several single or lone parent organisations to come and talk to us on the podcast, just to sort of highlight the work that they're doing around that recognition of single parents. So what is it that you're wanting to highlight?
So what we want to talk about is work and employment for lone parents. So the families that we're working with are facing multiple and complex challenges, and all too often poverty is exacerbating the challenges that they're facing. And as we all know, lone parent families are at a greater risk of experiencing poverty. And in Scotland, this has been recognised in our national commitment to tackling child poverty, where lone parents are identified as a key priority group. So at Fife Gingerbread, we see work as a really critical part of the solution to tackling child poverty. What I would say is it's really important we don't oversimplify that. It's not just about getting lone parents jobs. It's got to be centred around good, well-paid, flexible work that will improve the lives of children and families that we're working with. Otherwise, we sort of contribute to that worrying rise in work poverty. And the reason we're recognising this is that we think that the lone parent families we work with and beyond are this incredible pool of untapped talent. They've got amazing transferable skills, incredible resilience, and employers would be really lucky to have them as part of their workforce. But all too often, we find that lone parents are locked out of accessing meaningful employment. So we've been engaging with local employers as a key partner for us in tackling child poverty. So we're working with them to help employers understand how they could help to tackle child poverty. Because all too often, what employers and employability organisations and recruitment do is they expect the lone parents to be more skilled, and they need to be more flexible, and they need to be more ready to enter the workplace. But actually, what if we ask employers to be more skilled and flexible and ready to welcome lone parents into their workplace? So we've been engaging with employers locally to create lone parent positive workplaces in Fife and really recognise and celebrate the skills of lone parents. So good work, I think, has the potential to improve the lives of families, including their kids, not just the money, but also mental health and well-being and a sense of community and self-worth. So I think it's a really important thing to talk about this week and to celebrate.
It's really interesting that you have honed in on the job aspect as well. We'd recently recorded, as of yet not released, but if there's anybody listening, particularly within Northern Ireland, it's a charity called Timely, and they work with mothers to get mothers back into the workplace. And again, they talk about that flexibility of how the employer, you know, and that untapped talent. And what a waste it is to have people who feel like they can't work because of childcare or because of, you know, whatever other reasons. Yeah. So,
and I think it's about like helping employers understand that. So helping employers understand the external environment to their workplace that affects parents, lone parents, particularly ability to access the workplace. So that could be start times, that could be transport, it could be school hours, childcare, it could be how work interacts with the social security system. But I think if we can help employers to understand that and to recognize the talent of lone parents, then maybe we can start to join up the dots and make that accessible for the families.
And then what has your work with employers achieved so far?
So it's really been focused on relationships so far. So building relationships with the parents to understand their needs and their strengths and skills, and also building relationships with employers to understand what they need, but help them to find the little tweaks that could help them to open up the workplace to lone parent families. And it is often little tweaks that can completely open that up to the good recruitment and retention of lone parents in the workplace. So we've got some examples. Our local council, one directorate, has guaranteed interviews for lone parent families that we're working with. We've done a few traineeship models, which is a way of lone parents getting some skills support and also a paid work experience opportunity for 6 months to really help them get that experience and confidence that they need to move into the workplace and move into a really good job. And then we've had some random ones, like an industrial paint spraying firm that created a term time school hours role for a dad that we were working with. And that's traditionally not somewhere where they would have thought about that. So I think that it's helping employers to make those little tweaks and helping them understand all those external factors and barriers to work that they can be a part of solving, and helping employers see that they can really be part of the solution to child poverty. It's not something that is up to charities and local governments or councils to solve. It belongs to all of us. So I think it's winning the hearts and minds of employers and helping them to recognise lone parents as well. So hopefully we can roll that out more widely to create lone parent positive workplaces and create a model that can be scaled up and really embedded in a values-based employment. So we want to enable employers to create lone parent positive workplaces so that they can recognise the skills that lone parents can bring to their business. We're here with Sapfa, the CEO of One Parent Family Scotland.
And she's going to talk to us a wee bit about their year this year, which is their 80th year, which is amazing. So if you want to sort of tell us about what your charity does and how you support single parents.
Of course. Hi, everyone. I'm really pleased that we are going to be looking at the theme of recognition for single parents during this celebration of single parents this year, particularly poignant for us because it's the 80th anniversary of the organisation having been established in Scotland. And in that time, we've seen major changes and progress in relation to single parents and support for single parents. But at the same time, there are some key fundamental issues which haven't shifted. And I think I'd like to start off by recognising and celebrating the unique role single parents play, juggling caring responsibilities as well as having to be the main breadwinner and doing it all alone. And I think what we haven't seen enough of in the 80 years of OPFS's existence is a recognition of that role, how important it is in society, and how we can better support single parents to participate more fully in all aspects of life. We still very much organize around a model of a two-adult family. And so there are still lots of things we need to work on. Like, for example, work, patterns of work that would support family life as well as a working life and support single parents to progress. Childcare, interestingly, looking back over the archives of One Parent Family Scotland, it's interesting that childcare has been a theme throughout all the work that we've done, and the importance and significance of making sure we have the right support in place for children to thrive, because what we find is parents feel more comfortable and relaxed and able to focus on work or study if they know their children are somewhere where they're happy and thriving. And I think it's that we really need to bring home. Actually, single parents are brilliant. They do a really difficult job. Without the recognition we want from across society, although I do think we're getting there is now a recognition that if we're wanting to make significant progress in things like tackling child poverty and progression in work, we have to recognise how we can support single parents. So at One Parent Families Scotland, we do a range of different things. We have face-to-face services in six areas of Scotland: Glasgow, Dundee, Falkirk, North Lanarkshire, South Lanarkshire, and Edinburgh. And as well as that, we have a national advice and information service that provides support through web chat, phone line, also online resources. And we use our website as a portal of information to support single parents and also those who support single parents to be able to do so in a way that's appropriate and relevant. So there's a lot of services we offer. On average, we work with around 8,000 single parents and families a year. But actually, we also do training for practitioners, and through that, our reach goes much further. Some of the issues that single parents are telling us about at the moment are, of course, the increasing pressures caused by the cost of living crisis, coming on the back of a pandemic, coming on the back of austerity, and the cumulative impact of all those things on them and their children. So as well as the very obvious issues like lack of money, having to figure out how you can provide the heat, the food, the sustenance, the support for yourself and your children at a time when everybody is feeling the crunch, particularly those families who have been living on the least up until now. And that is one of the significant issues that we work on, how in Scotland, whilst one in four children live in poverty across the board, that increases to one in three for single parent families. So it's what can we do? So what is it that makes those poverty rates higher among single parent families? And what we are, what we focus on, and what are the structural issues that we need to address that would provide a degree of equity for single parent families alongside other families. So that is, like I've said earlier, the nature of work, working hours, living wage, living hours, making sure that families have enough to live on, be they in work or out of work, but with a focus at the moment in Scotland on in-work poverty, because that's where we've seen the biggest increase. And as well as that, then looking to see what supports we'd need to provide for families around that. It's very much a holistic family-led approach is what we take within the organisation. The starting point will be the issues the parents or the families present with. It's not about what we think is important, it's about what matters to them. And that's what we're going to use as the starting point of our work with them. And a big focus for the families is around support with mental health and wellbeing for themselves and for their children, as a result of the cumulative impacts that I'd spoken about earlier. So we're there across Scotland for families, working with them on, like I said, what matters to them, but also then supporting them to raise their voices and raising our voices alongside them in terms of looking at the change that institutions, organisations need to make to be able to facilitate equity of access to employment, to childcare, to resources that we see amongst families where there are two adults.
Coming into your 80th year, is there anything that you've reflected on sort of over the past 80 years of the charity that you'd want to highlight for Single Parents Day? Or possibly as well then sort of what does recognition for single parents mean to you?
Look so, like, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's really interesting with this being our 80th year. We do reflect, we do look back, and we did so for our 75th and our 70th. And we marked our 75th year with an exhibition of photographs co-curated with single parents of them and their families. And an exhibition to launch that. And that, again, is very much about celebrating the successes and the achievements we have made over the years as single parents and as an organisation that supports them. Coming into our 80th year, we have lots of ideas of what we're going to do. We will certainly be having a whole organisation event to mark and celebrate our 80th year and to celebrate the staff who we have now, and those along the way who've made it possible for us and sustained us as an organisation to be able to support single parents. Teams are currently looking at all sorts of ideas of what they want to do around the theme of 80, do you know? And we're also wanting to do some work with the families we work with and support now, and possibly some we've supported in the past, to get their reflections on how things are and what they see as the wins, as well as the challenges. Yes, we've been here for 80 years, but should we have been?
Yeah.
Do we want to be here in another 80 years' time? And if we are here in another 80 years' time, shouldn't we be a different type of organisation that really is able to celebrate and support in a general way, as opposed to 80 years on, still having to be an advocate and campaign for single parents and the way changes and the structure of society impacts and limits them and their families. So yeah, definitely looking forward and thinking
really
about future-proofing. Yeah.
Way to look at it as well, that you know, your charity needs to evolve and change as well. And it's been great to have the last 80 years supporting single parents, but then going forward, you don't really want to be in the same position. You
no,
want to have sort of the
absolutely.
Laws and things in place.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have our local services, we have our online services, we have the phone-based services, but we also need to make sure that we're taking that collective experience of single parents to build something better in the future. We've got 80 years of learning we need to be putting into making the future better.